You know, someone said that God only had one son, and he made him a missionary. And so Jesus was the original missionary, and all of us are called to be involved in missional work. Again, that might be going downtown to help with homeless people. That might be going across the state line to help with a camp. That might be a gazillion different things. But the basic idea is that if you're going to be in missions, you have to go. You cannot do missions and sit and stay where you're at.
Many churches don't have a strategy for their global missions involvement. Now, I didn't say they don't give money or collect food and clothing or maybe send their youth group to Haiti for the summer. Whether your church gives $500 or $1 million per year to missions, the real question isn't how much you're giving, but how you're giving it. How can you make improvements to your church mission strategy that will increase effectiveness in world evangelism? Welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler, and today we're going to have a wonderful opportunity to visit with two great guys in our community, love our city, love the Lord, and are engaged in all kinds of mission opportunities. Mitch Martin, who's the director of missions at the Mid-South Baptist Association, and Steve Markham, director of missions at Bellevue. Guys, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Good to be here, Byron.
There's this annual conference coming up called the C2M Conference, Called to Missions Conference, C and the number 2M Missions Conference. Mitch, this is something that Mid-South Baptist Association kind of organized a few years back.
We've been doing this for several years, and it's always a great time. People really turn out, get a lot of inspiration, a lot of good networking, and it's a great evening.
So it's not a full-day conference. Is that right, Steve?
Yes, it begins at 4 o'clock, and it'll run to approximately 9 o'clock, and we have different kinds of seminars and all, but it's a great evening, really.
Before we get started, give us a little backstory of how each of you arrived to where you are right now, the position you are. I want to know something about your family, where you grew up, and just the journey God's carried you through to bring you to where you are right now serving.
Well, I first met the Lord when I was a 10-year-old boy, and then when I was about 11 years old, I felt like the Lord called me into full-time Christian service. Ever since then, I've been serving the Lord. I've been a pastor. I've been a missionary. Several years ago, actually 9 years ago, the Lord brought me to Memphis, Tennessee, and it's been a joy to serve here.
Okay, so he brought you to Memphis from where?
From Nashville, Tennessee, where I worked at Lifeway Christian Resources. Downtown Nashville.
And what was some of your responsibilities there?
I was mostly involved in pastoral ministries. I initially went there to be an editor-in-chief of some leadership magazines.
Okay. Tell me about your wife, family, and how you guys met.
Well, we met at church. That's where my wife, Myra, and I met. That was 39 years ago. We've been married, if we can hold on until the end of May, we will have been married for 38 years.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. We got two adult children, yep. And it's a blessing to be married to Myra.
Well, my wife and I celebrate May 2 as our anniversary. May 5th, it'll be 33 years. So we're kind of following behind you guys. Okay. Steve, what about you? What about your backstory? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up, Byron, in New Albany, Indiana, and my dad was a pastor of Graceland Baptist Church there, and he had been there for 22 years when he passed away in 1985, and I'd had the opportunity to serve with him there. We had a Christian school, and I was minister of recreation and worked in our school and all, so had an opportunity to serve right alongside him for 8 years prior to his death. And ultimately, through a series of events, I became senior pastor in 1987. I had been there and became senior pastor of the church and was senior pastor for 10 years till 97. But in 1994, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to India, and it radically changed mine and my wife's life. We've been married now 43 years. My wife, I met her in college. I came to Lambeth College. It's Lambeth University formerly, and now it's University of Memphis campus, but came there to play baseball and met my wife. And so
Did you want to be a major league baseball player?
Well, you know, you always have those dreams, but you find out sooner or later in your journey that whether you're good enough or not. So it was, it's been a great journey. But in 1995, went to India, radically changed our life, and we began to see the world from a totally different perspective.
And could you stop a minute, Steve, when you say radically changed your life, when you say it changed your perspective of the world, Can you just kind of talk a little bit about that?
I was in a great church. Graceland Baptist Church is still a great church. It's the largest Southern Baptist church in the state of Indiana, and had the opportunity to follow my dad in a great church. And so, you know, could have really stayed there and probably retired there. I mean, it was that type of situation. But we went to India, and just in a few short days saw literally thousands of people stand and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior in a crusade. And so that really changed us. We came back and began to wrestle with something. The director and the head of that ministry began to challenge me with the idea, you know, if you stay and pastor this great church for the rest of your life, how many people are you going to see saved? 2,000, 3,000? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, if you come with me, we can see that happen in one night. And he said, I need you. I need your administrative skills and all. And so in 1997, we left. We packed up and left, moved to Houston, Texas, to work as the international director for Gospel of the Unreached Millions. And we began to work in India and Nepal primarily, and began to literally see thousands of people come to Jesus Christ through those crusades, and begin to plant churches. We began to train church planters, and something we thought we'd do for the rest of our life. That's the kind of commitment we had made. I had the opportunity, I'd known Dr. Rogers through a series of meetings before, but had the opportunity in the fall of 97 to take him to India while I was still just a board member of the ministry and all. And, you know, to see and spend time with him there. And so we felt like we would be in Houston and part of that ministry the rest of our life. But some things changed in the ministry and all. And we knew God was finished in 99 with us there and had no idea. And so we came home to visit. My wife's family lived here in Memphis. And so we came home and I visited Bellevue, and through a series of meetings, Bob Sorrell, who was the associate at that time, I said, you know, just pray with us about possible change. And he said, well, sit back down. And we were having breakfast, and he said, would you ever consider coming to Bellevue? And I said, well, that's not something we'd ever thought about. But February of 1999, we arrived at Bellevue to be the Minister of Missions, which for this last almost 19 years that I've been doing.
Has it been 19 years?
19 years. Wow. It's been an incredible journey.
Both you gentlemen, what really speaks to me as you share your story is just how, well, first of all, you had godly parents, and they pointed you in the way of Christ. Yet you were involved in the church, and that's an outward working of what Christ has done on the inside, you know, about you being involved. But you've seen church ministry, you've seen churches reach out to their communities, and you've seen mission teams, and you've seen places around the world. You guys are very well seasoned to help orchestrate an event like this, you know, this C2M, call to missions. Now, when we talk about being called to missions, we hear that term a lot, Mitch. What exactly do we mean by that when someone is called to missions or a church is called to mission?
Missions is based on the Latin word missio, and it just simply means to send. So if you're involved in missions, it means that you're going somewhere. It means you're getting out of your normal comfort zone and you're going across the street, across town, across the state, or sometimes, as Steve has done so many times, literally across the world.
What you're saying really is that being called to missions, Mitch, really can look different for everyone. It's not necessarily the same. We're all called to missions, but how that plays out could look different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, someone said that God only had one son, and he made him a missionary. And so Jesus was the original missionary. And all of us are called to be involved in missional work. Again, that might be going downtown to help with homeless people. That might be going across the state line to help with a camp. That might be a gazillion different things. But the basic idea is that if you're going to be in missions, you have to go. You cannot do missions and sit and stay where you're at. This whole conference is designed to encourage people to be emboldened to take the next step in missions, whatever that means for them in their appropriate lifestyle.
What are you seeing, gentlemen, as some of the trends in missions today that seem to be more effective than others? Is there certain differences, Steve, that you're seeing through your ministry?
You know, Byron, I think one of the major things is, you know, early on in my missions journey, there was always a tendency, I think, and particularly in partnerships, for short-term partnerships, you know, we're going to work with you for 2 or 3 years, and then that's it, and then we move on to something else. Well, the thing we've found out, that's not best. Our most effective mission work around the world these last 19 years have been those areas where we've established long-term partnerships. You know, we began some church planting in Upper State New York over about an 8 or 9 year period. We saw those guys go from just a small core group to a church that was established, own facilities, and now two of the leading churches in that convention. And so you really need to stay with whatever you're doing until the Lord says it's over. Instead of me saying, well, Byron, I'm going to work with you 3 years, and then that's it. We're going on something else. So yeah. I think a long-term commitment has been the most effective for us.
You know, I think that's a great, great word there, because we don't want to talk about drive-by shootings for the gospel. You know, go fill them up with the gospel and leave. But you can see the effects of building those relationships and networks. When I was in Nicaragua, you know, I told you before we went on the air here, my son went on a mission trip through Bellevue, met his now wife, and, you know, she translated for him, and they're married now. We got to go down to Matagalpa and spent some time last year. We went to her church on Sunday morning. I don't speak Spanish. The message was translated, so I know he was preaching God's word, but he was also very encouraged by the work from Bellevue, because he had met Mario, which is the Hispanic pastor through Bellevue's ministry. He actually had come to Bellevue before. And so it was kind of neat to see there was that connection there. We spent time one night, just he and I together in his church. We met over there, and he was just pouring out his heart, talking about ministry and talking about desires he had to move into other areas to reach people that weren't really reached with the gospel. It was kind of neat to see the domino effect of the relationship with the church here in the States, being supportive and encouraging and being able to help him be able to do the work that God's called him to do, which, you know, Mitch, he's going to be more effective. And so these relationships are very important.
I like what you're saying. My faith journey started off in Oregon. I really was raised in Oregon, which, as most of our listeners know, is one of the most liberal, godless places in the United States. So I went to a little bitty church with about 30 people. So we could do a little mission trip, and for 1 week, we could do a lot of good. A long-term partnership, Steve, could really do so much more, where you develop that bridge of relationship. The darkness there is so significant. Again, for people who've never lived in the South, you really have no idea what it's like unless you've been overseas or been to the Northeast or the West Coast. You really don't know what a challenge it is. And that's why these long-term mission partnerships that Steve is talking about is so attractive to me.
And that's why going to a conference like C2M coming up, again, the dates of the conference, April the 24th, Monday night, April 24th, from 4 to 9 p.m. at Bellevue Baptist Church. And is the conference open to anybody?
Yes, Byron, it's really open to anyone. The great thing about it, when you look at the Great Commission, a lot of times we feel like, well, that's a church's responsibility. But when you really look at it, it's every Christian's responsibility is the Great Commission. And, you know, one of the things that we're going to do and offer in the C2M conference is there's a lot of things that individuals, whether they're professionals or not in the ministry, can learn about being on mission, how to begin a mission ministry in your church, how you can find a place to serve, whether it be here locally or whether around the world. And so it's going to be a great evening. A lot of our partners that we have worked with, our association works with, will be there, and they're going to be offering opportunities for people just to plug in and volunteer.
Now, one of your featured speakers is Dr. Floyd Harris, I understand. Now, he's one of several speakers. Is that right, Mitch?
Oh, yes. There's scores of presenters and all these different breakout sessions, and there's going to be mission booths. The plenary speaker is going to be Dr. Floyd Harris, and Floyd is a great guy, and he is from Memphis, and now he serves over in Uganda. Steve has been over there, and he could probably tell us more about the mission work there.
And before you do that, Steve, I just want to say something about Dr. Harris, and I don't think you guys know this. We went to Bible college together at Mid-South Bible College. I met him first at Leewood Baptist Church years ago before he even started, and his late wife, Penny, and I went to first grade together. And matter of fact, when we were preparing to go as missionaries to Guam, Floyd was pastoring up at Bradford, Tennessee, I believe, if I'm saying that right. He and Penny invited us to come up and speak at their church, and we had dinner at their home, and it was just really special. And sad story, you know, Floyd was pastoring, I think, was it Kentucky? Or I think right. That was Kentucky. Penny passed away and such a great couple doing ministry together. Such a heartwarming thing to see on Facebook recently. Floyd and his ministry in Uganda recently dedicated. Steve, help me out. I think, is it a building or a project?
He has established 6 schools across the Moyo district there in northern Uganda, and they're all Penny Parish schools. Pretty incredible.
Wow, that is pretty exciting. Think about that verse. It says, unless a grain of wheat, you know, and just see the lives that have been impacted in honor of Penny's name. But this conference, again, you need to make plans to come. What should folks do to register? How can they register for this conference?
Easiest thing would be to go online to c2mconference.com. And there you can get tickets. The tickets are only $10, and that's going to get you a free meal, as well as entrance to all the breakout sessions and the plenary session. The first breakout session begins at 4, and then there'll be a time to see the booths, and then dinner at 6, and then more breakout sessions at 7 and at 8. We got some great pastors, great missionaries, great civic leaders here to help us inspire us in mission activity.
And the $10 fee includes your Chick-fil-A box dinner. So you're paying maybe $4 for the conference, you know. So that's really a good deal to be able to come. So you're just trying to cover some basic expenses, which we understand. Again, we encourage our friends to go to that website. Give that address again.
The letter C, the number 2, the letter M, c2mconference.com.
Gentlemen, when a church is developing a mission strategy, why should the type of mission be considered before an area of geography, a location, you know, to be the most effective? Shouldn't you choose the type of mission you want to do first before you choose geography?
Well, Byron, we believe that the basis for all missions comes out of Acts 1:8, where we believe that Jesus laid out for us the model, and that is we begin in Jerusalem, wherever we're placed, and that our first responsibility is to our Jerusalem. And that's why, you know, we at Bellevue have such a strong commitment to Bellevue Loves Memphis. That's where we put the majority of our emphasis and our dollars, really. And so at home, to reach our communities, but then to Jerusalem and then Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we look at that model as being the framework we work in. And then we've always ascribed to what Dr. Blackaby said, see where God's working and join him there. There are many more mission opportunities that we could be involved in at Bellevue, but we just want to see where God's working. And then you must have strong partners in order to have a strong mission ministry. By that, I mean, if I'm working in Nicaragua, where we've worked for many years now, we have strong partners there. We have strong leadership on the ground. And that's something that we've found out. And we have many opportunities that come across my desk all the time that we have to just say, well, it looks like a wonderful opportunity, but we just can't do that. You know, there's a limit. And, you know, the danger is you could be a mile wide and an inch deep and it not be effective.
Yeah.
And so we try to be effective. You need on the ground partnerships, people that are there that you can work with regularly. It just can't be a one shot deal, come and go, but it's an ongoing relationship there. And so, you know, and every church is different. You know, the neat thing is, you know, we may be working, say, in Nicaragua. Well, there's another church here locally, maybe working Guatemala or Honduras or somewhere like that. But it takes all of us finding our place to really to impact the world for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, I guess, too, Mitch, there's that balance between a church doing local missions and global missions, trying to find that balance, make sure that, I guess, they're equally engaged in both areas.
Well, both are very important. You know, Jesus said repentance and remission of sins must be preached in all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You know, I think a church has to find out what they have a passion for, what their leaders feel energized about, and then go in that particular direction as the Lord leads. You remember Moses, you know, God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? Well, that's a staff. Well, use that staff for the glory of the Lord. And he did. Samson had a jawbone. And God was able to use that. Every church has to say, well, what do we have? Because let's keep it real here. Bellevue is an anomaly. Most churches don't have the bandwidth that Bellevue Baptist Church has. But every church does have resources,
yes,
and they have leaders. You got to say, well, how has God fashioned us? What can we do? Where's our passion? And then let the Lord lead you.
And Mitch, what makes the conference like the C2M so exciting is even as smaller churches come together, they might be able to form partnerships and meet at a conference like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Where have you guys been in the past 6 months where you're seeing the gospel impact? Do you want to share maybe someplace you've been recently? You're really seeing God at work?
Well, we were just in January in northern Uganda with Dr. Paris, and this is my third time there, and it's an incredibly important part of the world right now because over 500,000 Sudanese refugees have crossed the border into northern Uganda. So just trying to be able to minister to those folks and just with daily food and water was overwhelming to see it. The United Nations is there. They're able just to scratch the surface of the needs. And so the openness, we've been able to see a church start there. I mean, just a lot of positive things, but the need is so great there in northern Uganda. And then we come back to this side of the world. We just were in Guadalajara, Mexico, where we're helping to start a church that will launch in this September. And just the lostness of that great city, you know, the second largest city in Mexico. And there's so many lost people there. And so to be able to be a part of seeing a church start there with a leadership that's really could impact that city, it's exciting to see what God's doing.
Wow, it is so exciting. What about for you, Mitch? What have you seen?
What's exciting and significant is the fact that the nations are now moving to North America. We estimate that there are now about 150,000 Hispanics in Memphis, Tennessee. 150,000. That's roughly 1 out of 10. So there's all kinds of mission opportunities right here in Memphis to reach people like that. Then on top of that, there are the refugees that are coming from the Middle East. In our apartments, we have people from Syria, for example. Those people, if properly ministered to and appealed to, are being open to the gospel. And so we have ministries going on in various apartments around town, and it's exciting. So it's fun to see missions. Again, whether it's on the other side of the world or on the other side of town, again, we just have to try to inspire one another to be on the move for Jesus.
You know, when you say that, I just reminded my wife and my daughter-in-law, who's from Nicaragua, both attended a meeting for an agency that works with immigrants and refugees. My wife came back. She said, wow, my eyes were so open seeing the opportunities. And some of them it can be just because some of these people who come brand new, they don't have a driver's license or they're trying to get settled. It's just showing kind love. I mean, just being there and building that relationship that can open up, you know, hey, this is the Jesus I serve. This is the Jesus that is leading me to do the things I'm doing, you know? And that can just create wonderful opportunities for ministry, Steve.
Well, you know, what Mitch just said is so true. You don't have to leave Memphis to touch the world. I mean, every day, more and more people from countries all over the world are coming into our city. And so, you know, I think it's just a matter of people saying, hey, I want to be a Great Commission Christian. God, where do you want to use me? You can use me right here at home, or I'm willing to go. And I think that's the mindset, and that's one of the reasons why we do C2M conference, is just to encourage people and then to expose them to what's out there. Yeah. See, a lot of times people have no idea how to get involved in missions or what's available. Or like you said, you know, for even a small church, a very small church can still have a mission strategy. And there are things that a small church can do, and particularly, you know, we are open at Bellevue to joining with other churches and for people to from other churches to be involved on our mission project. We had the one to northern Uganda. We had folks from two other churches join with us. And so maybe their church couldn't have sponsored a church, a mission project to the other side of the world, but together, you know, we were able to do that. And yeah, it was not just, you know, it was three churches literally being able to touch people on the other side of the world.
That's a good word there, Steve. Okay, Mitch, Tuesday, the 25th of April is going to be the day after the conference. On that day, when you're looking back after it's all over with, what will you consider that conference to have been successful? What makes it successful for you at the end of the conference?
I think what makes mission successful is three things. Missions is how the kingdom of God grows, and missions is also how the Christian grows, because when you go on mission, you have a sense of desperation and you pray more fervently. And when Christians go on mission and they grow, ultimately then the church grows. And so that's what I predict is going to happen, that as more of our people get involved, the kingdom will grow, the child of God will grow, and churches will grow.
Wow, that's exciting, Steve.
Yeah, you know, I tell our people, if you go on mission, you'll come back changed. Yep. I mean, it's like the rubber band. Once you stretch it, it never goes back to it. And the same thing happens with people. When they go on mission, their life is changed, their perspective is changed, but God just does something in their heart. And so that's our goal. Get them out of the pew onto the mission field, whether it's here at home or whether it's around the world.
It's the C2M Conference. You can go to C2MConference.com to get more details and also to sign up. $10 per person. Again, that includes your Chick-fil-A box dinner, April 24th at 4 to 9 p.m. at Bellevue Baptist Church, 2000 Appling Road at Appling at I-240. Of course, everybody knows where Bellevue is. And it just provides a great venue because it's conveniently located. We're encouraging folks, you don't have to be a Baptist, but you can come and share in the vision of taking the gospel to your neighborhood, to just all over the world, and you can get more strategy and encouragement. Iron sharpens iron, so come out and be part of this. Any last thought, Mitch, before we say goodbye?
Byron, it's always good to see you, and we sure appreciate you helping us get the word out.
Thanks so much. Steve, thank you, too.
Well, it's great, and, you know, we're excited about the opportunity, and it is something that literally anyone in Memphis is invited to come and be a part of, but it could be a life-changing evening.
C2M, C2MConference.com. That's all the time we have right now. I'm Byron Tyler. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.